Powerful people can abuse their position, and the community expects them to be held accountable. That's where the KPBS Investigations team comes in. If you have a tip for us, send an email to investigations@kpbs.org or message on the Signal app at 619-594-8177.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Wednesday, April 1st. Wire County Jail is transferring a growing number of inmates to ICE custody. More on that next, but first, the headlines. The personal finance website WalletHub ranked what their analysts believe are the healthiest cities in America for 2026. First place was awarded to San Francisco, with San Diego coming in strong at second place overall. WalletHub says they utilized 41 key indicators across multiple categories, including food, healthcare, and available green space. The website ranks San Diego 10th overall in the nation for its assortment of healthy restaurants and says San Diego has the 6th most hiking trails per capita in the nation. County health officials have announced the reopening of Avenida Lunar Beach in Coronado. The beach's water quality samples were able to meet health standards set by the state. The Department of Environmental Health and Quality says that closures are still in place for Imperial Beach, Tijuana Slough, and Silver Strand in North Beach in Coronado until samples can confirm those areas are safe. Until then, the public is being advised to avoid all water contact in those areas as it's impacted by sewage and could cause illness. You can find information on advisories and closures at sdbeachinfo.com. UC San Diego's men's soccer team and three other California schools will compete in the Pac-12 conference next season. It's part of a partnership designed to strengthen and sustain Division I soccer opportunities across the western U.S. The Pac-12 and Big West conference will feature crossover matches between both conferences. UCSD's men's soccer coach John Pascal says it will give the team an opportunity to play new quality opponents and establish a crosstown rivalry with San Diego State. As previously announced, SDSU will officially become a Pac-12 school on July 1st. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hola, friends.
In this episode of Port of Entry, we explore the efforts that made Assembly Bill 91 a reality.
A state bill that offers students south of the border a chance at affordable education in California.
We chat with the individuals behind this bill and the advocates working tirelessly to keep the dream of education alive for all trans-border students.
You don't want to miss this episode. Catch it wherever you get your podcasts.
Last year, San Diego County Sheriff Kelly Martinez transferred almost three times more jail inmates to ICE custody than in 2024. Reporter Gustavo Solis says this dramatic increase in ICE transfers has renewed calls to end the practice.
Under California's sanctuary laws, county sheriffs can transfer inmates to ICE custody as long as they've been convicted of certain crimes or ICE has a federal warrant. In San Diego, the Sheriff's Department transferred 83 people to ICE custody last year, up from only 30 in 2024. Sheriff Kelly Martinez presented the numbers at an annual forum last week, where San Diego County Supervisor Paloma Geary said any type of cooperation with ICE fuels fear in immigrant communities.
I don't need to repeat this, but we know we're living in a time where fear is real in our communities.
Immigrant advocates at the forum renewed calls to end all ICE transfers. They point out that transfers are discretionary, and sheriffs in other counties like Los Angeles have stopped the practice. But Martinez has no plans to stop. She says that it's safer for ICE agents to pick up their targets in jail instead of going out into the community and potentially arresting people with no criminal history.
If they're going to go into the community, there will be collateral damage, and that's my bigger concern.
Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The state auditor has announced it will audit so-called fusion centers in California. Reporter Scott Rodd says these centers allow law enforcement agencies to share intelligence and investigative leads, but some state lawmakers worry there's a lack of oversight.
Fusion centers emerged following the terrorist attacks on 9/11 to break down information silos in law enforcement. There are about half a dozen in California, including the San Diego Law Enforcement Coordination Center. Mike German is a former FBI agent and national security expert who has studied fusion centers for decades. He says it can be hard for the public and even lawmakers to understand how they work.
FBI and Department of Homeland Security officials operate within these fusion centers, sitting side by side with emergency response personnel, public health personnel, law enforcement personnel, and these unknown private sector entities with no clear regulation about how they're supposed to share information.
The state audit will examine oversight of these fusion centers and whether information sharing with federal immigration agencies follows California's immigrant sanctuary laws. In a statement, San Diego Law Enforcement Coordination Center Director Roy Frank said his organization is transparent and will comply with the audit. Scott Rodd, KPBS News.
Three nonprofits in San Diego were awarded new electric vehicles on Tuesday. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says funding was provided by SDG&E and Citizens Energy Corporation.
Citizens Energy is a nonprofit founded by former Congressman Joseph Kennedy II. Their EV grant program this year is giving vehicles to the Chicano Federation, Healthy Day Partners, and Serving Seniors. Melinda Forsty is president and CEO of Serving Seniors, which provides food and wellness programs to older adults living in poverty. She says the EVs will save the organization money on gas and maintenance.
So in a typical day, one vehicle may drive up to 200 miles. At a time sometimes. We serve meals from Oceanside to Imperial Beach to La Mesa. So the amount of energy we're going to be able to save with these vehicles is really remarkable.
The EV grant program from SDG&E and Citizens Energy aims to provide $14 million to organizations supporting low-income and marginalized communities. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Things are going from bad to worse when it comes to prices San Diegans are paying for gas. Reporter John Carroll has the latest numbers.
Gas prices in San Diego continue to move in one unwelcome direction, up. AAA says the average price for a gallon of regular in the county is now at $5.95. Diesel is well above $7 a gallon. We talked to drivers filling up at a Chevron station on Park Boulevard. San Diego resident Robbie Holly had a message for politicians in Washington.
Oil prices, you know, Iran and everything going on right now, it's just a mess. It's just a mess over there. And it's messing us up. It's messing anybody else up, too. So the message is just to clean up all the Iran mess and get oil back and get it down to where it should be, right?
When the summer blend of gasoline enters the market this week, AAA says that could add another 20 to 25 cents a gallon to our already high prices. John Carroll, KPBS News.
It used to be San Diego's Museum of Modern Art, but now it's dedicated to seals, Navy SEALs, that is. For April's Museum of Month, we hear from John Carroll again as he takes us to a place that tells the story of some of the most elite members of the armed forces.
Across the street from downtown Santa Fe Depot is a 10,000 square foot building that provides its own kind of transportation.
And stand ready to ensure liberty is defended and Americans remain safe.
Inside these walls, visitors are transported into the formerly secret world of the United States Navy's sea, air, and land teams, the SEALs.
A museum's job is to present facts, and not opinions, but facts.
Brian Drexler is the executive director of the Navy SEAL Museum San Diego. He's a retired captain and SEAL himself.
When you look at naval special warfare and 80 years of rich, adaptive, innovative history and telling that story accurately, I do think is very important.
One of the first things you see after entering this two-story museum is an immersive theater experience. Three huge screens in front of you and to your sides show a film of the intense training that turns men into SEALs right here in Coronado. Drexler says on average, only about one in five that try to become a SEAL actually make it.
Right now it's 70 weeks just to get a SEAL Trident. Then you do an 18-month training cycle, so 2.5 years of training before your first deployment.
As you wind your way through the first floor, you come to two interactive touch screens, the Wall of Remembrance. The screens let you see and read the stories of those who made the ultimate sacrifice.
We're trying to do things in a blended format. So there's written word, there's artifacts.
Lots of artifacts. Think equipment the SEALs use to accomplish their missions, high-powered weaponry, and equipment like diver propulsion devices, where a SEAL lies on top of a little sub with a propeller, and a SEAL delivery vehicle. The one in the museum hangs from the ceiling on the second floor. It had to be brought in using a crane through a window. All of it critical for clandestine underwater transport. As important as those are, you probably wouldn't call them high tech.
Fox 2, Alpha 2, Eagle making movement.
But there is something else that is about as high tech as it gets. A virtual reality mission where you sit in what's called a 4D chair wearing VR goggles to experience what it's like being a SEAL on a secret mission. This one to rescue hostages off of a tanker. I tried it, and let's just say it feels unnervingly real.
We're getting fantastic feedback.
The museum has only been open since October of last year, but Drexler says so far so good. He says from active duty to veterans to just everyday folks, people are loving what they see here. He says part of what makes the experience of this place so special is the volunteers that interact with visitors.
You got parents that love bringing their children here. They talk to our docents. Most of them are former SEALs with vast experience, and they can tell them about the teamwork, the discipline, and what it takes to be part of this great community.
During your visit here, an overarching theme becomes apparent: service above self. Drexler calls it the story of common people with an uncommon desire to serve.
You have to want it for the right reasons. So I think it's that desire to serve, that commitment to the team.
Drexler and his staff are more than happy to share the process of applying for service in the SEALs, but the goal for visitors when they leave is inspiration to serve. You hear about that from those who've been there.
Everyone can serve, everyone can give, and everyone can inspire others to serve and give.
A large video screen features retired SEALs talking about the importance of service. Next to it, a smaller interactive screen gives suggestions on the innumerable ways we can all serve.
Hey, the SEALs are hiring if you want to join, but so is the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps. And if that doesn't interest you, be a first responder, volunteer at an assisted living facility, mentor, start a neighborhood watch. So it's about serving something, being part of something bigger than yourself.
An uncommon message from a museum. Come to learn about Navy SEALs, leave with a desire to make the world a better place. John Carroll, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
To ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways, and one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.